cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. We don't just gather to pray. We learn how to. So that's what we are doing again in Kingdom World Ministry. So we've been praying for a while. So let's just quickly go into some teachings and then we'll continue praying. And to start our teaching, we'll take our declaration of understanding as we always do. All right? The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, let's open our Bibles quickly to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want to just bring out something here from verse, let me see the verse that we'll start from. Okay, verse 26. Now God said to the people of Israel, He says, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, this is how it comes. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you today. And verse 28 says, and the curse, this is how it will come. If you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I'm commanding you today, by following other gods, which you have not known. He said, it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land. Now, that statement is done, all right? This is the next instruction. Verse 29. He said, it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Now, please notice that. They are to, you know, gather and hear blessings from a particular mountain and gather and hear curses from another mountain. It's very important for us to understand this. That God gave Israel blessings, but He also gave them what? Curses. Now, please, let's always learn our scriptures in context. Where I'm going is that sometimes we Christians, we speak and we are taught as if there are no curses again that can ever come into the life of a Christian. It is not true. Even for the Jews, their curses were tied clearly to certain things. What did He say the curse will come from? Where does it come from? From neglecting the commandments and then following other gods. Like we said last time, why do we want to behave as if we are looking for how to neglect the commandments, follow other gods, and still don't have any curse? Why? I want to say to you today, those curses did not go away. They didn't. They did not. See, you must understand, Jesus said the prince of this world is coming. And it is what? He had nothing. It is that nothing that the blood of Jesus, that is that something, let me put that like that, that the prince of this world will come and have, that the blood of Jesus takes away. Is that something? So don't ever think you can hold on to this something and when the prince of the world comes, you rebuke him. Did you get my point? Please, I'm so emphatic about this. Let us stop playing into the hands of the devil. It's important. We're talking about the way of sanctification again, which is an important thing that we're supposed to use prayer for. One of the, like I said last time, one of the things we are doing, all right, is making ourselves able to fulfill the destiny of God. If you're not walking in sanctification, you are useless to Him. We're not discussing whether you will get to heaven or you won't get to heaven. I don't want to get into that discussion at all. I'm talking about your usefulness while you're on the earth. Any spiritual promotion you are getting that's not tied with the improvement of your spiritual character is fake, is deception. You can earn it, you get to a church, you give, you are very regular, you come on time, you understand, you, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, the pastor, and yes ma, his wife in abundance. Do you get my point? Yeah, you get promoted. I've seen people that I doubt whether they are true believers, and they are getting promoted, and very soon they will become branch pastor. Yes. Because they know how to, according to one man of God, walk the system. They know the trick on how to work the system, especially from some of our denominations that have very large number of branches, and we need manpower is difficult to find anytime. It's very difficult. So a lot of times we bend and just take anything we get. And then we will not have certain yardsticks for promoting people. So if you're having promotion, but it is not because of spiritual development, that is in your heart, you know you are not being promoted spiritually. But human beings are promoting you. You are in trouble. It's better for you to just acknowledge it to yourself. Just if I tell your friends, this promotion people are saying, don't mind Ogao. We'll do what he's telling us, but I am not worthy of this seat. Don't feel good. Don't feel important with yourself. Don't let the title pastor impress you with you. I mean, you. That is, they made you pastor now. You will now be impressed with yourself. Say, I'm moving on. They make you deacon. Let it not impress you at all. Personally, don't be impressed with it. You're not a senior pastor. Don't be impressed. That is, do you get my point? In yourself. Don't impress yourself. How am I trying to say? You get what I'm trying to say? Oh, my English is clear. Don't be impressed with yourself at all. Don't even like the title. When they call you pastor, don't feel, one of my friends, this really happened to a friend of mine. He used to go to one church, one of the big Pentecostal churches in Nigeria. So my friend, he left there much later. That is, he left after some time. Years later, he now met one of his guys. I remember the name, but let me not use the guy's name. Let's just call the guy Philip. That's not the name, all right? So one day he went to an ATM, or I wanted to use an ATM machine. So as he got there, he saw Philip. So the guy, this Philip was his boy. You know, this kind of, they are your boys. Okay, they'll be telling you, yes, sir, carry your bag, help you out, assist you. He was the leader. Okay? So the guy said, oh, wow, Philip, long time, how are you? Philip said, gave him a hand to pause. He said, Pastor Phillips. My friend paused. The guy stopped him, cooled him down. Boys have advanced. He said, Pastor Phillips. My friend looked at him and like, your head is not correct. Like, what is wrong with this guy? Because his appearance had changed. He was trying to now live up to the pastor image. Yes. So that's why he called me. He said, Banky, I see today. I said, what thing you see? He said, see this boy. A friend of mine called me once. I should please help one of their church people. All right, coming to town. I said, no problem. For NYC. So he's a young person. Anyway, found out it was a young woman. So I said, no problem. She had my number, so one day she gave me a call. Let us assume, let's go under name. Let's just look for a name like Eve, all right? So I was making a call from Eve. So when Eve called me, hello. Hello, sir, good afternoon. This is Pastor Eve. I just wrote her off. Yeah, I wrote her off on the spot. She did not know. I'm sorry, maybe I've been too hasty, but on the spot, I wrote her off. Sorry for me to speak like a military man. This is a bloody copper, for goodness sake. Just going for NYSC. They did not tell you who you are calling? I'm like, excuse me. They don't have manners where you come from? This is a small girl from campus, for goodness sake. You know, I've been telling young students on campus, hate titles, though. Your best title, if you're in school and you're listening to this, will be brother and sister. Small digression. I have seen titles injure mostly young women. When they are young, it's worse for women. It's bad for everybody. But when you go and give campus girls titles, oh my God. Sometimes it can wreck their destiny. Why? Because it's unconscious. That is, without their realizing it, they assume a sense of spirituality. They don't know it's just a title. Just is a rank for you to operate in the campus fellowship. I don't care whether your pastors in town are the ones in charge. They just is a student, a small girl. When they ask us your name, use this title, sister. Let others be the one calling you, whatever it is they gave you. I'm sister this. Don't use any title, pastor, mommy, whatever, for yourself. If others use it, tolerate them. But see yourself, I am sister this. Because it carries a fake badge of spirituality. I didn't say it's only ladies, oh, guys also. Just as I say, it's what? Was from my experience. A lot of people don't recover from it. Yeah, because you see, you're not spiritual. You're just tied two layer. You know, get my point? They're spiritual, there's tattoo to have, whatever. They just give you a title. Don't be impressed with your own title. Don't. Like I said, it's a smaller side. Listen, in life, you're not useful to God except you are being personally purified on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Every one of us. I don't care how advanced you are spiritually. I don't care how much you have achieved in Christian ministry. You, the banker of 2024, must have more patience, more love, more insight, more faith than the banker of 2023. I hope you're getting my point. One of the greatest things God has done for me is that, now, God bless all of you who be telling me sweet, sweet things. All right? I actually enjoy those sweet things, okay? But I don't let it get into my head. As long as you finish telling me how wonderful you is, according to Americans. When you leave the place, Father God, you just collect all the glory 100%. As for me, the amount of ignorance I have is still worrying me. Can you just solve my problems and show me more things? That's my own attitude. And I'm not joking about it. If you hear my wife and I talk about Pastor Banky, you won't know it's me. I give her testimonies of what somebody said Pastor Banky said. If you are listening in some day, you may be wondering whether, is it not you they are talking about? I say, so Pastor Banky has blessed people, though. So why do you say so? Somebody says something. Say, I read this verse. Somebody told me this. I say, hey. If you are listening in, you'll be surprised sometimes that, okay. I don't like, man, I've blessed people. No, I use the word Pastor Banky because it's a phenomenon. It's the guys on the other side. I've told you before that's why I've annoyed my wife before. And she'll still come and listen to me. And she'll separate in her mind. My husband is very wicked. But Pastor Banky is anointed. In her mind, she will separate the two. She's very good at separating them. That is, this guy, he's very wicked. He's not been nice to me at all. He doesn't read his Bible. The Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So I'm not talking to him. But there's this other guy. He's a preacher of the gospel. He's anointed with the word of God. Let me go and listen to him. For adventure, I will learn something that will help me cope with this wicked soul. With Papaki, thank you. The Lord is good. Where I'm going is that, look, thank you for all those testimonies. Thank you for all those words of encouragement, words of love. But honestly, if you know where it doesn't get to in my heart, you'll be surprised. It doesn't ever make me feel accomplished, that I've done everything that God wants me to do. You know, I look at some people who have done, I say, this might get understand. Where does he learn things like this? So I get his messages and listen. I want to learn every day. Why? If you are not making spiritual progress, you're actually declining. That's how spiritual things are. If you are not making progress, I didn't say you are likely to decline. No. You are declining. There's no static post in Christianity. You're either making spiritual progress or you are declining. So the only way, that's what I said last time. Let's stop having this argument of if I'm saved, I'm always saved. Leave those arguments. You should be too busy trying to achieve the ultimate. You should be too busy trying to become the best that God created you to be, that those things should not be important to you. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. You should be adding to things every day. You should be adding every day. There should be addition to your spiritual life, your spiritual character. Not your title outwardly. Not what people think about you. This evening I was thinking about it. This afternoon. The issue with not about popularity. Jesus just saw him and said, they never met personally. A true Israelite indeed. In whom there is no guile. There are things I read in the scriptures. I just said, God, give this to me. Give me this one. Once I read Acts chapter 20, Paul was leaving Ephesus. He said, we will not see again. He knew. So in this life, we're not going to see each other again. And he was giving a report of his life with them. He said, I have coveted no one's goods. Hey! I said to God, give me this one too. That's it. I just said, God, give me this one too. Give me this one too. I want to be able to leave Ephesus. and say, I have coveted nobody's goods. He's a true Israelite indeed. Ah, he's like, you know, if it's men, it's other people that said it, no, it's nice. But when the Lord himself said it, by word of knowledge, that is, the Holy Spirit is one that said, a true Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Because remember, Nathanael said, when did we meet? It was a word of knowledge. That is, the Holy Spirit reveals to Jesus, the Son, that this is an Israelite in which the Father finds no hidden thing in his heart. His heart is open, is clear. When you see such things, note them. That God, give me this one. When you hear about Daniel, that he had insight, he had understanding, he had ability to interpret dreams, he could solve any enigmas and difficult problems. I should say, God, give me this one too. I hope you're getting my point. These are the things you should aspire to. These are the things you should aspire to. And you must be progressing on that path on a daily basis. That is true Christianity. That is when you are getting useful to God. That is when you are making true spiritual progress. That is true Christianity. The constant progress that has been made in the refinement of your inner nature. Let me say this again. When God speaks, all right, there are two sides to it. Like Miles Monroe used to teach us those days, that God is, of course, the Bible makes it clear God is an architect, all right? But Miles Monroe used to emphasize that he designs a building. By the time you see the building for the first time, it's complete. In drawing. In model. There's a model. The day I saw our brother, Bishop, is the architectural drawing he did. Before, when I was young, all I used to see was a plan. I used to see my father carry, plan of house and all of that. I've seen those things. So I thought that that's all they did. Then one day I saw Bishop open a book. And it's one house. It's layer by layer. There will be a page, electrical drawings. You see a page, just metal works. Page of this, page of that. Layer by layer, they'll be opening it. Different things. I said, wow. So this is how this work goes. One day I remember we're looking at a particular work and then the big man that was there said, this wall here is not necessary. So he explained why the wall was there. I was watching the two of them. The man said, this wall is not necessary. He said, no, if that's the case, then you guys can do it this way. It's just, he gave his point. So people said, okay, fine. I'll have to correct that. I thought he would just go and erase it and, No, he said no. He has to take it back. Many new pages have to be drawn. Because that wall you are removing, it's affecting this, affecting that. Wires are supposed to pass through here. They won't pass through again. So that just wipe out this wall. It's a full day's job. That's how it is. So they put the model down. And now this is how God speaks. That building is his plan. It's there. When you come and look at it, God will now say, a father of many nations, I have made you. I don't know whether you get my point. I have made. Let me put it like this. A father of many nations, I have drawn you up as. I have built a model. Then, Miles Monroe said, God will now say, now that we have finished, let's now go and start. So Miles Monroe used to say, God never starts until he has finished. That's what he used to tell us. So Miles Monroe would say, God never starts until he has finished. Now, this is where the confusion is for us a lot of times. When we hear him speak, we think having finished, we too have finished. I don't know whether I get the point. That God has finished, we too have finished. No, God said, hey, wait. It's not like that. Now that I have finished, you come and start the work with me. But where I finished, you get my point? The thing that I completed, keep your eyes on it. Then you are being fashioned according to that image. But it is now you are being fashioned. So a father of many nations, I have made you. Isaac is not going to show up for the next 25 years. That covenant will not be confirmed with an oath for the next 40 years almost. Yes, from the beginning. I'm telling you stuff. So you're not supposed to walk with me until we get there. And that's why when we're talking about, this is why we worship. What the title we give that series? I explained that when God made Adam, when you hear the Bible say, in the beginning, God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. And then next you hear, male and female created he them. Was there Eve there? So the absence of Eve shows that statement was not actually factually factual that time, which also tells you the image of God was also not factually factual that time. Did you catch what I mean by factually factual? That is, after God made the man, when he said God made him in his own image, and the image of God he made him, is God finishing? Adam was now going to start. So when Adam was now born, that's what Adam was supposed to become. So, what was God now doing? He will now come in the evening, or in the cool of the day, and switch with Adam, and be infusing Adam with words on a daily basis. It was going to take Adam time. I don't know how long it was going to be. Adam was now going to fully become what God said at the beginning. He will now become a man that, like the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 concerning Jesus, an exact representation of his nature. That's New American Standard. Verse 3 says, he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. This was what Adam was supposed to be. The moment they made him, let me tell you the truth, he wasn't. Not yet. The moment he will become that, or the moment he would have become that, then he will have been given the tree of life to eat of and live forever. Why didn't they give him the tree of life to eat of? Let's just assume, just to make it easy. If Adam had become from creation, you know how old he was at creation? 0 years. After 1 year, he was a year old. Forget how his size. I don't know exactly what he looked like. Maybe he was a little boy. Maybe he grew. I don't know. But at birth, he was empty also. He had to learn everything. So just assume that at the age of 10, with the intelligence of a modern 10-year-old, he ate of the tree of life. He would have been a permanent 10-year-old, not smart guy. Whatever position you were in, when you ate that tree of life, it's sealed. And that's why God said, don't let them eat it all after they sinned. Because don't let them eat it all. If they eat it now, it no go good. Let's be like that. It won't be good at all. You'll have sealed something permanently. Let that not happen. So why didn't he let him eat it early? It's simple. Because he was not yet what he was supposed to be. What will have happened is that he will have gotten to a point. The father will have said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then they will have opened the tree and said, take of that tree of life. He will have plucked it, eaten it, will have been eternally an exact replica of God. He will have eternally become the exact representation of God's nature. But you know the story, that didn't happen because of all the things that happened. Now, why am I saying all of this? Sometimes when we preach about Christianity and say we have been made in the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness of the truth, like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Now, when we're in school, those days, we just say, oh, right now, we have the holiness of God. We're as holy as God. Now, these are things that were preached to us and we'll preach to others. Like it was spoken as if we're perfect and entire. Lacking nothing. I see how people preach till today. That's how you are supposed to preach. That you don't preach sin to Christians. You keep their eyes on that thing and every other thing will fall away. No, it's not true. The reason why I say it's not true is that if it is true, Peter was a bad preacher. He didn't know how to teach this thing. Paul was, James, John, all of them. Because these same people, they will let you know things not to do. Like I say all the time, why would Jesus say, be perfect? As Heavenly Father is perfect. He's giving you something to focus on. I hope you're getting my point. Something to walk towards. So the people he taught, the people like Paul, James, John, you know, and Peter, they went the same way. They will show you the ultimate. This is where it is. Say, now come. let's start the walk. And they are able to locate where you are. Say, some of you are going around as busybodies. That's not right. And many of the things you are doing, it's not because you don't have the power to stop them. Let me tell you, as a Christian, you can stop any bad habit. You know why? Sin does not have dominion over you. For us, sin is voluntary. It's not compulsory. It's voluntary. If you think it's compulsory, you believe the lie. That's the truth. Sin is voluntary. And many of the things we refuse to stop is because we don't think we should stop them. Which is part of what I'm preaching. Last time I talked about meditations of purity. Which is the main thing I want to say today. If you see a man like Paul, that's what I'm saying, something that I've been saying for a long time. He knew all of these things. And then he told us, after preaching from Ephesians chapter 1, you see it, Paul will explain what God made us in Christ Jesus. He said, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He made us sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Paul will explain. I'm just scanning through chapter 1 into chapter 2. He said, you were dead. And your trespasses and sins. You were dead. You had no control. But now you have been given life. He said, formerly when you were dead, you indulged in the lusts of the flesh. You indulged the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, you were children of wrath. Now, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2. He said, but God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive. So now we're alive with Christ. How did he do it? By grace. By the working of his power. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, you are saved through faith. You have been saved. Now you were formerly called Gentiles. He said, but now, not anymore. Now you are in Christ. He said, for he himself is our peace, having made both groups into one. And he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He said, so now, what do we have? One spirit, one father. We are no longer strangers. That he was telling the Ephesians, you are no longer strangers and aliens. And he kept on describing these things. Then finally, after seeing all these things, that what we have become and what we are not, and that what we are not anymore, he now got to verse 17 of chapter 4. He now says, so this I say, and affirm together with the Lord. Now that's what the Lord is saying. That's what I'm repeating. Do not walk any longer, just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their minds. He knew what God had done for us. Then he finished it with one simple instruction. You have to exercise your will now to agree with what God has done for you and then start walking with God until you attain literally to what is called perfection. It's a walk. It's a walk. It's something you do deliberately. So nobody should tell you, don't tell a Christian, don't talk about sin to a Christian. I should. If he's doing what is wrong, I will tell him, this is not in keeping with your character. If I see a prince wallowing in mud like a pig, I don't go there and say, you're a prince, you're a prince, you're a prince. Is that what I say? I have to say to him, come out of the mud. You are a prince and not a pig. Because if I say you're a prince, you're a prince, it doesn't mean anything. He didn't forget. What he needs to know is that there's nothing like wallowing in the mud for princes who are not pigs. I need to tell him, you are wallowing in the mud. It's not right. You're not living up to the level, the status you have in life. Come out, be washed, and let's return to your father's palace. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, that is why you need to tell Christians, this is bad. Yes, because they are not in bondage to sin. Unless they deliberately want to give themselves to it. There's something I like about that movie, Professor Zinni. You know, they depicted some things very beautifully there. Of course, it's a movie, so everything will not be 100% accurate, at least by my own understanding. But there's something, one part of it, when that pastor, that guy was a Christian. Now, first, he was walking with unbelievers. Let me just give you one firm commandment. Your best friend must be a serious believer. Your good friends must be serious Christians. Every other person should be an acquaintance. An acquaintance. I know him. We work in the same office. If I want to chat with people, serious chat, I hope I get my point. discuss issues of my life. If you just going to church does not qualify you to hear me. I'm telling you. What I just mean is that you must have the same seriousness about faith. We must. Otherwise, how will you counsel me? Now, what I'm going to end that is that if you remember that movie, that pastor, his first problem was that CK was his best friend. That was the first problem. He broke the rule of Psalm 1. Yes. That guy was always mocking preachers and laughing at everything and womanizing recklessly. And he's still your bosom friend. It's not the person you should be telling, the minister is supposed to be my life. He's going to lead you astray, for sure. But back to the main reason why I'm referring to that. If you see one particular point in time, all right? Because that's how life is. You always have choices. Well, after I've gotten involved with that familiar spirit, that evil spirit, remember that part? Towards the end, when things were now scattering, he had lost a lot. He had lost his son. He had lost people in church. Things were scattering. You know, that spirit now told him that now, time to make your choice. You either follow me or not. Let me put it like that. And he made a statement. He said, I love you, but I still want Jesus. That's where the problem is. If he was ready to forgo the things of this world, that spirit would not have had a hold on him. See, for Christians, sin is a choice. It is. It is. There's enough power. Listen, grace is literally released. You know what grace is? Grace is God's power to enable you to obey Him. Usually it's when our eyes are fixed on things that our eyes should not be fixed on that we subtly reject grace. Because grace has payment. What I'm going to say, what I mean is this. It makes a demand. Grace may tell you, I have grace for you to reject bribes. But that grace comes with the ability to endure poverty. Why many people don't receive the grace to reject bribes? Is that they don't want the grace to endure poverty. And do you hear what I said? Many people don't want the grace. There's power to reject bribes. There's grace to reject anything. But you know, salvation has a cost that you have to pay. The real cost of salvation, Jesus paid it. The real cost. The fact that that has been paid does not make it totally free to you. Watchman Nee said then, God denied him progress. I think it was Watchman Nee. Concerning his PhD. It was a PhD student. God said no. Those are even some, let's leave that one. Simple things like, you know, this illustration I use about, you know, one of the reasons why I told you why I enjoyed that movie, all right, is because they depicted things that we knew, that we had known for years. I've told this story several times of my friend, a pastor, anointed man of God, who another pastor went to him begging for help to be delivered from familiar spirits. They were tormenting him. He's, you know, was beginning to hear voices and stuff like that. How did it begin? Just like you saw in that movie, he wanted to hammer in ministry. He wanted to make, he wanted to blow. And yes, they helped him, whoever they were. Except that now, he had a lot of problems. He was hearing things and he had an irresistible, now please, I'm using the word irresistible for a short period. He has an irresistible temptation to carry harlots. He won't even know when he would do it. It's when he wakes up, he realizes what has been done. So that was why he went to look for help. So I told my friend who was telling me about it, I said, but there's one problem, he can't be delivered. Why? He's not willing to pay the cost of his salvation. What's the cost? He had made so much money from those operations of familiar spirits. Had built a house, he had a lot of cars. I said, if he wants deliverance, he has to get rid of all of those things. And that's really where the problem is. Deliverance is easy. It's technically free. But the cost to him is he has to return to that point where he used to be that he didn't want. God said, you have to go back there. If you ever saw this movie, this television series by Mount Zion, they call it in Yoruba is Ide Issue. That's when they first did it. But later on, they did the English version. All right? But the one I saw was the original one. My God. Those guys are good. I don't know whether they finally released that one with English subtitles. I don't know. Was a number of weeks of 1 hour episodes. This is a story of three men who went into the occult because of money. And the consequences followed them. It always goes like that. What I'm going to say is at the end, he made a statement. A man that had come to console him when he was grieving heard him make a statement, you know, just under his breath. And he recognized that statement that is from the depth of the occult. And so the man said, "What did you say?" He said, "He just tried to make light of it." The man said, "No, I know what you said. This is what it means. Did you go to so-and-so place for this kind of thing?" The man said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "Don't forget, I was there too before you." So he was surprised. He always knew this man as a good, nice Christian man in society. He said, "You mean you've done this before?" The man said, "Yes, I did." "Wow, what happened?" "Ah, I met Jesus and Jesus delivered me." So he became interested in the deliverance because he had gone through a lot. He said, "What happened? How did you act?" He said, "You know, Jesus, the way..." That guy began to preach the gospel to him. Then I asked a simple question. He said, "So what happened to all the money you made?" And that one said to him, "The money was given by Satan now. When you leave Satan, you have to leave his money. You will take his money back." Oh God, beautiful acting. It was a drama, but beautiful. Instantly, that man's countenance fell. Like the rich young woman that came to Jesus. Oh, they were like, "Oh." So basically, he wanted deliverance and still keep the goods of the world. And that was where grace left him, ability to repent. That's why he rejected it. See, the problem is a lot of people, they want the good in quotes now, things that come with their bad habits. They don't want to suffer, and they say they don't have grace to resist. In this life, there is grace. It's always available. Just the cost of salvation is what we often are not ready to pay. And I have been sent by God not to preach a soft gospel. I will say it the way it is. You must pay that price. You may be rich today and poor tomorrow. That's what it will cost you to follow Jesus. And you wouldn't be the first. How are you making it look like, you know, there's a special thing Jesus is asking for you to do? How much is the money you're even talking about, sir? He has taken greater things from more people. One day, a man came. He said, "Go and sell all you have and give to the poor." What did you say? I said, "Sell all you have and give to the poor. Then come and..." You don't understand. Just selling and giving to the poor is one thing. "Then come and follow me" means that, okay, Peter will now be my senior. You're not getting my point. In this ministry, James, John, even Judas will now senior me in ministry. Jesus said, "Well, you go make up your mind. Go home." And he left. He was very sad. I feel like telling this story told by David Paulson. He was preaching and one young woman used to come to hear him preach. And well, apparently she gave her life to Christ. But the Holy Spirit did not let her be. She would go home, she wouldn't be settled. So she came to the man one day, David Paulson, the preacher. I said, "I'm trying my best to be a Christian. It doesn't seem to be working." David Paulson said, "Why not?" "I don't know. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do." David Paulson, she was talking, he was praying. And God gave him a word of knowledge. And he just said to her simply, "The young man you are living with, are you married to him?" "Why did this evil spirit now go there?" In quotes, I'm just saying like this. The girl was surprised because she never talked about it. It was by the word of knowledge that this man of God brought it out. He said, "The young man you are living with, are you married to him?" The girl said, "No, but he loves me. I love him." He said, "Marriage is just a piece of paper. It doesn't really matter as long as there is love." The person just said to her simply, "Jesus doesn't think so." That Jesus doesn't think so. And if you want to follow Jesus, I'm sorry, that relationship has to come to an end. And he said something. He said, "I wish I could tell you that she obeyed the Lord." She ran away crying. And he didn't see her again. Salvation has a cost. You can come the way you are. You don't stay the way you are. I'll always add a word for pastors. God is about to come judging pastors who don't say these things. let me tell you what will happen. You know why you have not been saying it, man of God? Listen, you are the one I'm talking to. The reason why you have not been saying it is because of congregation size. Your church of 500, you know, will go down. The offering every Sunday, you know where it is going. You know where it is going. And that is why you have not been saying it. So now let me tell you something. This is how it works. God has been waiting for you to start preaching the truth. Regardless, and listen, I'm not telling you, if you preach it, the congregation will grow. I didn't say so. It's a lie. It will go down the way you feared. However, this is the other part that I'm going to tell you today. It is still going to go down. Whichever way, it is going down. There's a first scenario of going down in which you start preaching the truth, you apologize to your congregation for lying to them. You know you have been lying. That apology must come. And then it will dwindle. Some will leave immediately. They will leave gradually over the next few months as you continue to preach the hard truth of God. I don't know what happened after that. At least you'll be pleasing God. This is the second scenario that will happen. You will not do what the Holy Spirit is saying by me now. You will hold on for some years and the congregation will grow and you'll become a big pastor too. Then one day God will walk in and shut the door. You won't have a church again. You will not even be able to gather 10% of the people that you are gathering now. But that time it will be the judgment of God. And it will not be, nobody can fight against it. That is, you can't fight that judgment. Let me tell you the truth. You know how it happened with David? When he killed Uriah, after, you know, and had the affair with Bathsheba. Go and check it. God didn't say anything for maybe up to a year or possibly a little bit more. Uriah was dead. There was peace. And God said nothing. Why? He wanted David to be the one to come and confess. The child was born. David didn't confess to anybody. He could have called the prophet, prophet, I sinned. The moment the prophet came by himself, judgment was determined. Say what for some people, though. Grace is always available to handle every situation of life. It's whether we are ready for the consequences of having handled it. That's where the problem is. The Lord is good. Please, all of this just to reemphasize to us again why we need to work in sanctification, why it is important. I just wanted to emphasize again that it's a commandment for the work of the believer. It is. It is. Without it, we are not useful to God. We are not. Remember, God speaks as if it is done, but that's how he operates. Then he starts. You start walking with him towards that goal. Just like we read from Paul, Ephesians chapter 4, after all the beautiful things he said as if they are finally done, he now says, so I say this, just like the Lord is saying, that you are no longer to walk. He began to tell them, don't practice the impurity they practice with greed. So lay aside your old self. That is, the old self can stay there. But now you have a choice to lay it aside. You must deliberately separate what? Your light from your darkness. That's it. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, this new self I've been describing, put it on. That's it, verse 23 of that chapter 4. He said, lay aside falsehood. Speak truth. Control your temper. Don't give the devil an opportunity. You bloody thief. Stop stealing. He said, stop stealing if you're a thief. That means they are Christian thieves. They are born again Christians who are in political office and they are chopping large. They are Christian policemen who are collecting bribes. They are Christian judges collecting. Now this is the commandment of God to you. Stop. Remove your children from expensive schools. There's one former governor in Nigeria. I don't know whether it's in southern or northern Nigeria. I've not seen, I've not called anybody's name. They said he paid over $800,000 for children's school fees to the year 2035. Are you an evil spirit? I don't get it. EFs now went to the school. Give us the money back. The school said, we'll reform part of it. We have already educated the children partly. He said, we don't work now. And I wonder, why do you have to steal that amount of money when there are beautiful schools that charge in Naira? Ah. What are they learning now? Is it not the same book? It's the same book now. It's book now. See, me, I don't quarrel with people about their money. Whatever you want to do with your money, as long as it is your money. There's one school in Lagos that said form now 4 million. Huh? No. Primary school. The form. No, you don't understand. Say you come, say I want to admission form is 4 million naira. Tuition is 42 million per annum. Yes. People have been getting angry all over the place. I said, what's the food's problem? The point is that the place is full. Look, let me just advise you. Mind your business. People say, what kind of nonsense? I said, how is it your nonsense? Let me not start talking about that. Because those who opened the school, they know why they did. You know what? It's none of my business. The only thing I just know is that there's nothing you are going to teach that my children don't know. That one, I can assure you of that one. Anything my children don't know, I don't want them to know it. If I want them to know it, I will teach it to them. And there's no better instructor of the children than the parents. Especially when you're educated. What are you talking about? But the point I make is that it doesn't concern me. If you decide to use 40 something million naira a year, where I'm just going to say, why do you have to steal to go there? There are schools that don't charge that much. And trust me, the teachers are the same thing. The only thing that they will not introduce your children to network, because I'm some of those things, it's not about learning. No. It's networking. No. It's networking. No. All the people you want to network with now, some, half of them will enter before they are adults. So don't even see. This life is not predictable. You think because your father is rich, you won't die? Yeah. People die. People crease. In fact, crease level is higher amongst those that have a lot of money than those who don't have. Because when you don't have, purpose gives you sanity. Look, if you write that thing down, it's a quotable quote. If you have purpose in the morning to go and look for food, you'll be very sane. Where I'm just going is that, listen, you don't have to. If you can't afford it, don't kill yourself. You don't have to become a thief. Stop stealing. Christian politician, stop stealing. Christian judge or policeman, stop taking bribes. You can do it. You can. And if you don't do it, God will be angry. I'm telling you. And there's nothing you want to tell him. He has told you, associate with the lowly. Go and look at those who don't have as much money as you have. Look at how they are rejoicing. So please, talking about sanctification again. I just did all of this to warm us up. So let's continue with that meditations of sanctification. Now, what do I mean by that? I began it last time. This is what I mean, please. See, this mouth is the most powerful tool God gave us. The mouth does not produce sin. It only expresses it if it has been conceived in the heart. We have other members that they do iniquity, like the eyes. Eyes absorb, the mouth never absorbs sin. It only expresses it in your heart. The eye will just be looking. Go and ask David. The eyes caused him to stumble. You can stumble with your mouth, but the mouth does not cause you to stumble. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When you use your mouth wrongly, it is a stumbling. But the eye can cause you to stumble. The mouth is a very useful tool. James told us clearly that it can control the whole body. Yes, the way you use the mouth, it controls the whole body. It controls it. You know, the human mind and the human brain, I think, should be the greatest computing, you know, machines in the universe. They have to be programmed. Every day our activities program these things. And the tongue, you know, writes the program, you know, presses them down. When you say things, it prints better. One of the ways I remember things, because as you grow older and you get busier, all right, you start forgetting things. Not because you have dementia, but because you have so many things to think about. Has it happened to you before? You pick your phone, you want to call somebody. Hey, why did I pick this phone? Who was that I wanted to call again? It's not dementia. It's too many things fighting for space. The one that's most interesting is that you actually call the person and drop the phone and forget you called. And the call will connect. The person's on that line. Say, hello, hello, hello. I mean, while you are here talking with somebody. The person, you say, oh, you pick. He has caught. Then you dial again and drop the phone again. Then continue. I found a trick a few months ago that helps me. If I don't want to forget something, I don't just determine to do it. I tell myself. I hope you're getting my point. Like that phone thing now, just say, okay, let me call Reverend Yinka. So by the time I pick it, I can't forget who I want to call. If I say it out loud, if I think it alone, I might forget. But if I say it to myself, the chances of forgetting have just dropped dramatically. Do you get my point? Like now, maybe before I leave the house, I'm supposed to switch off an appliance, maybe an AC or light or something. And I've learned that habit. When you are leaving, put off this light. Because it's normal for you to reach Oji River before you remember that you did not put it off. You've been there. One of the ways to improve it, just when you're thinking about it, say it. Say, yes, on my way out, I should remember to put this light off. You've just reduced the chances of forgetting. It works. It actually works. You can practice it. You can practice it. Engage yourself. Just tell yourself. Meditation works. Okay? Now, when it comes to purification, it's the same thing. You know, we started by reading about the mountain of blessing and the mountain of what? Curses. The reason why I mentioned that is that God deliberately, you know, I meditated on it some time ago, and I told you, you read Jeremiah, you get to a point, you get depressed. You read other preachers, other of the prophets, most of them, you just get tired. They can rain curses on people. But I found out that if you read your Bible, most times those curses are either reversible or at least suspendable. You can suspend them from generation to generation until you get to Jesus. Yes, they could have done that. So, but why did he used to give curses? It's just to scare people, basically. Warn them. It's just to warn them. Don't do that. He wants to paint a vivid picture in front of you concerning the consequences of your ways. Then if you go like this, this is where it will end. So he puts it in front of them. So he had both the carrot and the stick mechanism. What's the carrot? The blessings. These blessings, now, they were always conditional. Until now, in Christianity, they are still conditional. And the condition is straightforward. If you obey my voice, that's all. If you obey my voice, you are blessed. If you go against me, you disobey my words, see, Christian or not, you are cursed. I know people don't like it. There's no consequence of a Christian. It is assumed that he doesn't disobey God. Forget the big word, curse. Let's leave the word out. It will not go well with you if you disobey God. Abi? Anybody? I mean, does God bless disobedience? That's the summary of it. One of the ways, therefore, all right, you purify yourself. Look, see, I've said it fundamentally as a Christian. There is power. There's power to do right. Everybody say, I have the power. To do right. Say it again.
I have the power to do right.
Say, because the seed of God is in me. I have grace. To do right. Say it, where sin abounds. Now, what does that mean? Where there's a lot of temptation. Where pornography is just a click away on every device. I hope you're getting my point. He said that's what they call sin abounding. He said, grace much more abounds. That's the ability to say, come on, get out of the way from me. It's even more present than before. Because God knows it's not fair. If they can easily thrust rubbish into your life, I will give you more power to push it back into their lives. If it was, it would have been hard for it to come to you, it would have also been hard for you to repel it. But as it is right now, they've made it so easy. No problem. I also give you more power to make resisting easy. So people say, this generation, they haven't. God said, no, it's not true. Anyone that wants to follow me, the grace they have is more than the one they had before. This generation has more available grace than former generations. No need to be scared of anything. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So if somebody really loves the Lord, look, God said, when I was younger, I used to be afraid, like, hi. Now, wow. So if God goes to and say, Banky, sacrifice Isaac, will I answer him? I used to wonder. But now I've come to understand. You know why I don't have the grace to sacrifice Isaac? He hasn't asked. And in fact, like Oswachimba has thought, maybe he even asked, you have sacrificed the Isaac? You didn't even know. Because there are different kinds of Isaacs in this life. At the age of 15, you sacrifice an Isaac. You can't remember. Or maybe you can remember and you laugh about it, but you don't know that at that age, it was intense to do what you did. At the age of 20, you took another Isaac and sacrificed him. But you don't remember now. Why? Because you look back. What was that? It was a small thing. But then it was not small. You know, many times when you have seen the blessing in obeying God, the price now appears small. So in retrospect, it looks like it was a small thing. Jesus said it like that now. A woman is in labor. Then after she burns the child, she forgets. Immediately she forgets. And that's why they do it again and again and again. They shout, the way they shout, you think, nobody's coming back to this place. Forget that. In 11 months, the woman is back. But why not the one shouting like that? You say, you know, this one. They tell you why, because you have forgotten. That's what blessings do. They make you forget. They make you forget the pains. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. So I used to wonder, will I be able to sacrifice Isaac? Now that I'm older and I know more, I'm not afraid anymore. If my name is Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, if you put me in front of the fiery furnace, God will also pour grace into my life. I don't give the credit to any of those people. I give the credit to the God of grace. That's the meaning of God of grace. He gives you the ability to obey him. I hope you're getting my point. So that's how you need to say it again. Say, I have grace.
I have grace.
More than the sin available.
More than the sin available.
Yeah. Are you getting my point? Yes. More than the temptations around, you have grace. So there is no temptation you can't resist. In fact, one of the strategies of Satan is to tell you, you can't. Do you get my point? If you say we are not able, then there's a problem. You reduce the power of that grace flowing towards you. Fact, any child of God can resist anything if it's a temptation. And see, let me ask you a simple question. Do you think if it was Jacob that had the best right, you could have bought with a whole field from him? No, you know his brother sold it for a meal. Let us assume Jacob was near death and he offered him all the land of Egypt and Israel for his birthright. Do you think he would have given you? It's Esau that will sell it and be giving excuses. It's because I was hungry. You've not been that kind of hunger before. If you have been there, you too, you will sell. You will even sell your children's own too. It's lack of value. Jacob that valued it so much would never have sold that thing for anybody. What about them? They say, where sin abounds. What did the Bible say? Grace abounds also, right? No, that's not what he said. What did he say? Grace much more abounds. So let them come on with the temptation. We have more grace than we had before. I hope you're getting my point. If Balaam did not want to go, tripling the money will just have tripled, you will have quadrupled the amount of grace to say no. Balak came with a lot of money. Balaam said no. Balak doubled the money. Grace was not available enough, it appeared like, to help him resist. Why? He loved the money. If he loved the Lord more than he loved money, Balak could have brought everything There's nothing that will have shifted that Balaam from that place. Why? Because the Bible says, where sin abounds, what happens? Grace much more abounds. That's what we are preaching. That's a prayer point I'm explaining to us. We have more grace, sanctification. We have grace for it. What you just need to do now is motivation. And that's why God used to give blessings and curses. Just to help you activate grace. And like I was saying last time, I want to amplify it now today. You must learn to bless yourself, and I'm sorry to say it, and curse yourself too. You're not telling yourself, hey, it will go well, it will go evil way, you know, go better for you. Waka, shaky, brow, banza, you know. What does that mean? I don't know. When we're young, yes, we just use it. No, that's not what you are saying. What you are saying, what I mean curse yourself, you will say to yourself, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. If I steal, the curse of the Lord will come here. If you are not going to say it, you want to steal. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. And that's one thing. We say, no, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, wait. That's exactly what I'm saying. That because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I will not steal. Righteousness or no, like Americans will say. Righteousness or no, if I steal, the curse will come. Because many Christians hide behind this righteousness and blessing that there's no, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life has made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Sorry. So it produces the law of sin producing blessing? It set me from the law of sin. The compulsion to sin is what it set me from. That leads to death. However, if for whatever stupid reason, I decide to hold on to the law of sin, it is tied to death. They are inseparable. The wages of sin is what? Is death. No matter who commits it, the wages of sin is what? Death. Christian or not. That is why they preach that lying gospel that Ananias was not born again. He was. Is a, you know, I look back now. It's a lying doctrine. They give people false confidence. The problem with it is that they undermine their resolution. They undermine their motivation. And instead of people tapping into grace they have, they let the grace lie fallow. Because no matter how good a person you are, occasionally, if they tell you there are no consequences, you will want to break some rules. One of the things, that's why God put it there. And it's not just Old Testament thing. Is there for us also in the New Testament. Paul will warn. You know what Paul used to say? He said, just like I told you before, and I'm telling you now, that those who practice such things, now please, let's be realistic, let's be real. Why do you warn people if there's no risk to them? Peter did the same thing. He warned. You know, when you see Peter, James, and Paul warn on the same matter, what does that tell you? It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. It is a serious matter. It is a serious matter. So how do I keep myself pure? Listen, there's a blessing in walking in righteousness. There is. This is the fruit of the Spirit. But this is the work of the flesh, which Paul said, I forewarned you that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whatever that means. Just know that if you're a Christian and you are practicing those things, I don't care whether it's practicing your body alone, because that's a part of the doctrine they were preaching to us at the time. People will tell you that it's their body that is sinning because they are the new man in Christ. The new man cannot sin. Sin cannot. He cannot. Say, but bro, this one you are doing, what is it? It's the body. Now, I don't have time to explain. It's a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. It's how people hide, you know, they excuse their lusts. The fact that they will not put the flesh under. That is what they do. They just go around excusing their loss. They know they twist scriptures until things have no meaning. Tell you, they don't inherit the kingdom of God. Say, what does it mean? Start telling, speaking up and down. Because if they really believe, because they believe in the being, excuse me. What have you just said? Meaningless nonsense. The simple thing is that, let those who name the name of the Lord do what? Depart from iniquity. Stop justifying it and telling whether it's your body or your nose that did it and your spirit is pure. You've heard the, look, the Bible says spirits can be impure. You like my English? Okay, impure. Impure is that it's not clean, but unpure is that it was pure before. You have now. You don't pour something, it's like. You defiled it. Let's use the proper English. Spirits can be defiled. Can be defiled. Can be defiled. Please, Christians, stop hiding behind these things. Because I hear those doctrines all the time. There are two prominent preachers I see that preach them and they have large following. Why? Because people hate to think. No, you know, they sort of Bible because itching ears. People are going and looking for who will help them do what they want to do. When you tell them the truth, they become sad. So this is how you bless yourself. Of course, you know the blessings. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is what faith produces. But my emphasis on there are curses also. And no, I was talking about the mouth. Please, sometimes sit down and write. I can do it, just I didn't prepare for that. I can write the consequences of adultery. And you tell yourself, that's when I curse yourself. Say, anyone who did like David will suffer like David. I hope you're getting my point. Say, Pastor, if you look at Bathsheba, an evil spirit will enter you. If you commit adultery with Bathsheba, you will suffer. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes. You say, listen, the Bible says the one that commits adultery with a woman is not wise. Can a man hold fire in his bosom and not be burnt? So this is called burning. This is burning. Please read my book, Worship and Sex Control. That by it you are opening doors to evil spirits into your household. You are obstructing the flow of the blessing of God into your house. You are saying to Satan, you are preaching to yourself. It's yourself you are preaching to. Now let me talk quickly so that they know how this rhymes with my prayer. You know what I'm talking about prayer then? I explained that there is what I call aids to prayer. Of course, prayer is you're talking to God, right? Good. You are making petitions or you are offering praises and thanksgiving or consecrations and dedications to God. That is prayer. You are making requests of the Lord. That's prayer. But in prayer, you must be addressing the Lord. Now, there's what we call aids to prayer. Things you do to help your prayer life and your spirituality. And one of them is what we call what? Meditation. Meditation. We're talking about prophesying, but now I'm talking about meditations. What is meditation? Taking something, filling your heart with it, and running it over in your mouth again and again so as to refill your heart with it. That's meditation. And everybody must practice meditation. And these are the things, some of the things you do in practicing meditation. That's what I'm saying. Just today, I want to invoke the curse of the Lord on the thief in my life. It sounds crazy, but you should do that. Let me tell you something. When you have done like that, your body will not want to steal. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Stop going out hoping that when I steal, God will forgive. That is why you will steal. It is the reason why you will steal. When you start a business, bless the business. Bless it. Say, this business, if you sell adulterated goods, God will destroy you. I hope you know that's a blessing. Yes. People know. It is a. Look, it's a blessing. One day I said something, everybody was shocked. I said, I told my children that if you don't serve God, it won't go well with you. Said, how can you say that? I said, wait. Who do you want them to serve? Is that not a blessing? When you come and tell my son to join a cult, they say, you don't know my father. You don't know my father. My father said, if I follow you people, all of you are even dead, not only me. So let me just tell you, the aurora on my head is dangerous. Now let me tell you, you that's coming to tell me to come and join cult, I'll tell you a few things. One, if I join, I will suffer. You that said I should come and join, you will suffer. Anybody dead, the day I join, we suffer. In fact, the end of your cult is spelled by my presence. Do you still want me? People go and pray about it. When you finish, you come back. You come back. You say, you see, my father has blessed me. How did he bless me? He said, if I do iniquity, me and who we are doing together, all of us will be destroyed. People could look like, carry your wallah, go somewhere, say, thank you very much. I start to keep myself in righteousness. I threaten you with the threat with which I've been threatened by my father. No, really. You haven't. And you know why such things are good? When things are going wrong, they will quickly check. Am I serving God or have stopped serving Him? Am I serving God? Listen, you need to bless yourself regularly from the mount. What's the other mountain called? Thank you. Yeah, from Mount Ebal. You need to climb that mountain occasionally. And the beautiful about them, people say, why are you imposing curse? No, I'm not imposing curse. The curse of the Lord is there on the sinner. So, Pastor Banky, what if I listen? Then run away from it quickly. You know what to do. First, let me say something about presumption. You're planning to do what is wrong, planning to confess and ask for forgiveness. It's presumption. It's presumption. See, that thought will be judged. You have removed yourself from mercy by having that thought. It's better not to think at all. Just fall. You know what I mean? Just fall. Just fall into sin without thinking about it. But if you calculate that, see. Nah, let's fall into sin. When we're inside there, we'll now call to God for mercy. God will let your... That is, your head go rub oil first. I don't know how to explain it. He will leave you there. You will be so sure you have drowned. In fact, he will let you drown. You will become unconscious. It is your dead body he will revive. And there's only one sin. Not that you sinned, though, but that you planned to sin and confess. All those of you have been planning to sin, hoping to confess. Just forget it. That confession was not accepted. You have a new confession for today. What's the confession? Lord, I want to confess that I planned to confess. That may receive mercy. But that particular one doesn't get mercy. You can't it's a sin of presumption. He said, don't worry, God forgive us. People still ask me, what is a sin unto death? It's a sin of presumption. It's a sin of presumption. You see, why do you think David and Israel suffered when he numbered Israel? It's a simple reason. That's why God didn't just say, God said, no, David, you must hear me. Do you know the meaning to hear me? Okay, that's a nice English way to do it. You will get it hot. Thank you. It's a nice English way to do it. There's also one simple reason why had that happened. You know, God didn't send the prophet to come and tell David, you have sinned against me. You have sinned against me. No, he didn't send that. He said, choose your punishment. It was not negotiable. He said, choose your punishment. Pick one of three. 3 years of famine. 3 months of war in which you'll be losing the battles. That's what they mean by running before your enemies. Or 3 days, I handle you myself. There was no fourth option. There's no thou art merciful, O God. Nothing like that. David looked at it and said, wow, 3 years of famine, that would be terrible. As for this, my enemies, you give me to the Philistines for 3 months. Those ones, he said, God is merciful, so let me fall into his hands. God said, okay, fine. Now, why did God do that? Why didn't he give him a choice apart from choose your punishment? It's because before David numbered Israel, Joab reminded him. The men came. I've read my Bible up and down. I've tried to ask, what law did they break? I couldn't find, really. But this was my conclusion at the end of the day. Now, you can disagree with this if you have a better one. But this is after I've read up and down, I realized that the same person who told him not to kill Saul, that was not commanded against. He had an express word. It's called a testimony. It was a personalized commandment given to him by Samuel. That same person also warned him against numbering Israel. Now, that's my own conclusion. Now, if you have more information, you can give me. I keep learning, okay? But I'm just telling you, after I've written up and down. Now, and this man, it was a prophetic word. This is one thing David was not allowed to do. I can give you many reasons, possibly, why God didn't want that done, but God made it clear, don't do it. And Satan, he knows, he will tempt you to do what he knows you are not supposed to do. That very one that he told you not to do. He said, Pastor, stop inviting people to come and raise money. Other pastors are doing it too. And they don't build permanent site. No wonder you have obeyed God for long. One day I went to preach in one church in town. Let me just mention that. And the pastor said that one day he decided to do that. He invited one of your senior organs to come and help him raise money. So he woke up that morning. He remembered the commandment of the Lord. He called down and said, "Oh God, please don't come again." That one said, "I'm still going to come." So when that one arrived in Enugu here, he said, "Sir, please, I'm sorry to have wasted your time. But the Lord had warned me against this thing. I don't know what I was thinking." That man said, "No problem, I understand. I will preach, we will not raise money." So the man preached and he didn't raise money. But the money he brought to support the man, he still gave it to him and left. Yes. He told the man, "I'm so sorry I wasted your time." See, that also happened to David. They had warned him. There are things that, look, I am not supposed to do. They are running my life, running my ministry, there are so many personal commandments. Sometimes I can't pass it on to somebody else, but it's just real to me. It's very, very real. That if I do it, I know I'm breaking a clear instruction. And Satan's job is to make breaking that clear instruction necessary just once. Did you hear the last thing I said? Just once. Because he knows you will not agree to do it regularly. It's just this one time, God will not mind. Now, anytime you hear that, it is Satan. What did I say? It's Satan. Anytime you hear what you are not supposed to do, say, just do it one time. You know why? Satan knows that you will not agree to do it fully. It's just this one time. Just this. What is one in Igbo? Ofu. Mm-hmm. This ofu time. And when you want to really get flogged by the Lord, agree. If God has never punished you before, you can practice it. You just go and do it, then wait. God, he's going to come and show you what it means to be handled by him. For those of you who are wondering that God punishes people, I've never experienced it. Just go to the road and say, "God, show me one command. I want to break it here." God said, "No problem, I'm waiting." Don't try it. Don't joke with it. I may be laughing. Don't try it at all. Because Satan is very wicked. The only time he can catch you is when you are walking in disobedience. That one time is all the time necessary. No, think about all your life. Have you ever eaten cyanide? Poison. Or tapioca? Have you drank it before? So I now come to you and say, "Look, it's not something, it's not good food. No, or tapioca. It's not good, insecticide. It's not good food. You shouldn't be eating. Just this one evening, there's this spice it gives to when you make pepper soup with goat meat. Just put 2 drops of tapioca here." What will you say to anybody who tells you that? "Get behind me, Satan." Some of us don't know that Satan is offering us poison. That's why we are thinking it's just once. That was what happened to David. David said, "Let's just number them one time, and then we can leave. We won't number them again." Joab begged him. The men came and said, "Sir, you know we are not supposed to do this." What is it? I give a commandment. Am I the king or I'm not? You know, Joab didn't even number them correctly. Joab, he reached one time, he said, "Don't do. Go and tell him we have the figures. Go and read your Bible." He didn't count the Levites, he didn't count some people. Some people said, Joab said, Joab has been stubborn for a long time. Even doing good sometimes, he was stubbornly doing good. So they said, "Go and tell the king we have counted everybody. I'm not counting again." The guy felt bad. And of course, predictably, David thought it was only once. No, the prophet said that God said I should talk to you. See what the Lord said. He said, choose your punishment. He said, "Excuse me. Hey, wait, excuse me. When you began, you should have known there was punishment in front. And those of you who said I plan to confess and repent, choose your punishment." Remember meditation meditations for sanctification, choose your punishment. You should write that down. An important meditation. I will choose my punishment. God, it's either I die prematurely or never fulfill my destiny, or none of my businesses will go well. God said, choose one of the three. I'm not going to let you go. Please. They say I'm hard. I've told you, I'm not the hard preacher. I'm the soft one. I've risen up and down. Of all the preachers I know, I'm one of the softest. Do you know why? I warn people. If David had listened to me, he would not number Israel. Will he have numbered Israel? The person that told him to number, the one that said he shouldn't number, who's nicer to him? Thank you. If I walk to David, say, "David, if you touch that girl and kill her husband, your son will rape your daughter. Your son will drive you from the throne. You will fight to return to throne at the peril of the lives of multitudes of soldiers in Israel. And I told him like that, am I a wicked man? Who's the wicked one? Go, my king. You have favor with God. You have favor. Favor follows you. Favor in front of you. Behind you, favor. Anything you do, God can never be angry with you. Why? You are a born again child of God. There is no sin in your life. If you killed Joab, it's your spirit that killed Joab. That is the wicked preacher. The one speaking the way I'm speaking is a good preacher. Is the one that will help you endure into your destiny. Is the one that will help you fulfill your destiny and live all the days that God ordained for you to live. That's what I mean when I say you need to mount the mountain of Ebal and speak to yourself concerning the consequences of disobedience. I thank God for the lives of people like Kenneth Hagin. They taught me. Kenneth Hagin, when I was younger, I used to call him a teacher. When I became older, I realized he was a prophet like he claimed he was. He was really a prophet. He will tell you, fulfill your ministry. Otherwise, there will be consequences. Excuse me. Sometimes I sit down and tell myself, Banky, you want to live long? Yeah, fulfill your ministry. I'm not kidding. I mean, I don't know how to. Every affliction I suffer, I used to do more ministry. About 2 years ago, that time when I fell ill and I was away from here for almost a month, you know, from preaching. A month after that. From the day I fully regained my strength, a month later, worship and self-control was out. A book I began 8 years before. A month after that, We Walk by Faith was ready, even though we didn't release it immediately. I said, I better go. I've heard too many stories. What he says to one, he says to all. So listen, that's how I live my... You know, me and Satan, me and Satan, we know when we encounter each other. It's temptation. As for how whether my life will go bad or good, it's not in his hands. If I have a headache, I don't say, Satan, I rebuke you. I say, Satan, you know you can't touch my head. If Satan touches my head, he gets migraine. I hope you get my point. I can give Satan a brain tumor. So he knows. We know each other. So if I have a headache for 2 days between me and my God and the work of ministry and my work with God, I hope I get my point. The other day, I don't know why I preached it here. I began to compile reasons why Christians have problems and why they don't live long. I check all of them, make sure it's not in your life. I don't believe in immunity against them. I believe in obedience. The safety of the child of God. He said, he that dwells where? In the secret place of the Most High is the one that will abide under the covering of the Almighty. Many people want to say, I'm under the covering of the Almighty. I'm under the shadow. Don't do it. Don't spoil it. You have to first come in deliberately, walk into the secret place of the Most High. So what you should be teaching yourself, what is the secret place of the Most High? How do I walk into it? Because the psalmist was not confused when he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. It's like saying, he that enters the house shall be under the roof. Looks like he's confused, but he's not. You are the one that don't understand what he's saying. You should ask him, what does it mean to dwell? Because it's an active process. It's something you do deliberately. There are calculated steps you take to be in the secret place of the Most High. And one of the ones I'm explaining this evening is obedience to every instruction he has given concerning a Christian walk, a walk of sanctification. So when he says, this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, you will sit down and tell yourself, if I walk in sexual immorality, I may die young. That's what I mean by cursing yourself. Please, those who take this, how do I say it now? This presumption, hope in the mercy of God are the ones that don't get it. The mercy of God abounds on those who actually fear him. Look at what happened to David. Why did he get mercy? He said, but let me fall into the hands of God. He was willing to fall into God's hands. That's why people like that get mercy. He recognized his heart panted after God. That's why God mercy. That's why he will ask questions like, shall I go or shall I not go? He was careful. He knew that there are things. Look, why didn't he kill Saul? Because he was instructed clearly. Why he fell for the issue of Uriah, I don't know what happened to him. But those who are presumptuous about the mercy of God, God's merciful, I'll just disobey, are the ones that don't receive it. But those who are afraid, literally, and I'm giving you scripture, he said the mercy of God abounds on those who fear him. So just say, God won't do anything. that the world shows strong things. That's what I mean. You find that you can't keep away from people's things. Sit down and tell yourself. Look, you start a business. Tell the business. You know you business. I'm talking to you business. You know you will fail if you start cheating people. You know you will close if you don't pay the people their due wages. You know if you lie and cheat, you will not endure. Please, I'm begging, if you can, write it down. It is not unbelief to say it. After you added what? If. Is that not what you said? Did you tell your business, you shall fail, you shall fail? No. Say, you didn't say so. You say, if you lie, if you cheat, if you are disobedient, and you can even tell the business, let me tell you the truth, you, Mr. Business, that you are talking to your business. So, the devil says, say to my soul. You can also say to your work, my work, if you are the reason why I will not serve God, you will close. You have blessed the work. You tell the business, the day you are more important than God in my life, thunder fire you. Let lightning fall from above and burn you to pieces. Say, God, please just warm me small ahead, so I can. Because there's always mercy for repentance. Because sometimes we slip into these things. And that's why, look, that's what mercy is for, actually. It's not for people who are just blatant in their disobedience to God. Mercy is for, look, you are beginning to cross. So you are going where you're not supposed to go. We know the story of Abimelech, don't we? He didn't know when he took somebody else's wife. He said, God, you know I wouldn't do that. No, my God said, I know. So sometimes you get carried away. So I'm mindful that you are but flesh. So when you start slipping away, I will quickly correct you. But don't just predicate, you know, your actions on the fact that I won't do anything. I say that boldly. It's a major lie that Christians have been told. It's been hurting them. Let me explain something to you. People don't understand what it means. Please read my book, By Faith Acquire Life. Listen, I need to explain it. I've said it many times, but hear it again. The reason why this is dangerous is that it's not about you and God alone. There's one guy called Satan and the devil. And he has some small, small partners in Africa. They are called witches and wizards. Witches and wizards. You know what? It is that thing that they use when they come and accuse you, when they want to get power against you. That's what they use. And let me tell you something about God the Father. He has rules. He doesn't break them. He's a just judge. He can be depended upon to do what is right. So if you are deserving of death, listen to this carefully. And Satan comes and petitions and demands death. And God does not find a way to pull you out legally, you will die. So what do you mean by legally? It's simple. There are a number of ways. One of them is intercessors begging and pleading on your side. And they have to have things to plead on. And we have examples in the scriptures. Some, of course, we see number one pleading that Jesus will plead. It's not his normal way. That's it. The other things they plead, give him time. Lord, by your rules, he's supposed to have this number of opportunities. This is just the fifth time, but he has two more to go. Because he said, cut it down. What did the intercessor say? The keeper. He said, please, give me one more year. So these are valid. Spiritually, the rules have been set in place. And sometimes God will say, no. You know, there are so many things. He's been sold. That is to certain good works for certain reasons. So I'll preserve him for those works. Those things are used in intercession. But they all have to be balanced. At the end of the day, God has to write a fair judgment. One way you can let me use the word easily. But one way you can, you know, stop the hand of judgment is repentance. And not joking repentance. Please, brethren, let me just beg you. God's mercy is big, is plenty, but don't joke with it. Be quick to repent. Be quick to change. Listen, if you find that you have not stopped certain bad habits 3 years after, you need to take a leave and go into a rock and bang your head on the wall. I said, I'm not living here until I'm cured of this iniquity. Because iniquity you don't kill, will kill you. Look, it's the rule of God. When they were telling Samson, you know what Samson was saying? I'm anointed from my mother's womb. I'm a Nazarite. See my hair. He said, Samson, you can't go to Gaza and see a woman there. He said, you don't understand the grace of problem. He said, Samson is not like that. He said, just watch. Samson will get up from beside prostitute he picked up. An anointing will come upon him. He will clobber all the Philistines. And he will come flex his muscles. So what were you saying? You can't argue with results. Apostle, they can't argue with results. Results terminate insults. Thank you. What was that one saying? He was telling me that the way I'm going is not good. While he was still speaking, the Philistines attacked. And I walloped all of them. You can't argue with results. There's a grace upon my head. Hallelujah. A glory to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. They say, Pastor, come. This thing you are doing is not good. See, what are you saying? Just watch. There's a lion coming. They tear the lion as if they be picking. Picking goat, too. Like a kid. That's only a small goat. Why? There's a grace upon my head. The man will go, carry another woman. Then they will come and pursue him. He will remove the gate of a city. Ah! And carry on top of a mountain. All by himself. There's a grace upon my head. That is what happens when you think you are anointed, therefore you are immune. What he did not know was that anointing was leaking. Very soon, he will soon cross the, you know, God draws the red line. His own manifested in the length of his hair. Oh, what worry? Now say, do. Everybody should say it to himself. Part of cursing yourself. If I follow Delilah, my hair will be cut. It's simple. Just tell yourself. Lord, if I follow Delilah, they will cut my hair. And yet when they are cutting your hair, it's in secret. So that place you are going to meet Delilah is where they will shave your hair. The hidier you are, New English, the shavier you become. I mean, I have a lot of English. I've never used them. I've never touched them. What I'm saying, if you think you can hide, that is when it's easier to shave your hair. That is when it is easier. And the man was so deceived. Then one day he got up, flex his muscle as at other times. He did. Oh, I like King James at sometimes. He wished not. That the spirit had departed from him. He didn't know. They slapped the guy. He fell down. Ah. They tied him. He tried to flex the wrist. The wrist did not move. So God said, please handle him for me. They say, what shall we do? Say, you know what to do. Say, these eyes with which he was seeing the women, remove it. Remove them. They remove the eyes. See, this is how you curse yourself in a good way. You tell your eyes, these eyes, please, I don't want to lose you. If I use you anyhow, I will lose you anyhow. You see, I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell you, these things will scare you into righteousness. They will. They will. And that's why God put them there. That's why by meditations. Look, I'm being honest with you. I do it too. I will just sit down and describe all the evil things that happen to people, to men of God that do bad things. And Christians, not just men of God. The one that I hate most personally. You know Satan? You know, and witches. You know, I abuse them every day. You know, one thing I call Satan every time is what? Powerless. There's nothing he can do. Have you heard me say many times? Do you think he likes it? Say, Banky's my guy. He's telling people I'm powerless. No. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. There's one thing Bishop Odepo said was very interesting. He said they gave him a list of, what do you call that thing? Things he will bring to marry wife. He said he saw the list for to marry. He said, one day his father-in-law saw him and said, David, we've not heard from you. He told the father-in-law that, no, you don't understand. That I'm not even thinking about it. Now, it's what he said that's interesting to me. He said, alligator pepper. According to him, he said, do you know how many times I've cast out devils? He said, you want me to place the hands of the devil that I've been casting out? Like, there are things I will not do. Yeah. The father did not say, okay. Anything you think that is not good, they just remove it. Say, hey, now you are talking. Is that thing he said that, I will not play into the hands of the devil. I've been casting out devils. Don't say because I want to marry now. I'll not be exchanging things that will bring them into my life. Whatever resistance sin we take, we'll give it to it. Yes, whatever. No, you know what Jesus said? Who said it? Yes. That you have not yet, okay, it was Peter that was speaking. That you have not yet resisted sin. To what? To shed, that it means that you should resist sin even if it comes to the shedding of your blood. That whatever it will take, we'll give it to you. That this Satan, you won't, that's my own. Like Satan, I don't, like, no. No. Don't have anything to say in my life. I refuse you to have power to speak concerning me. Let all your accusations be false. You can accuse me of anything, but let them be false. Let them be false. Let them be false. Look, every day I remind myself, you know, some people, some Christians, they think that they've done so much for God, they cannot relax. Let me just tell you, in case you did not know before, the longer you have worked with God, the more your little sins count. Did you hear what I said? These are things you meditate upon. Because there's this unconscious thing in our hearts. After, you know how much I've sacrificed for God. Some, especially those of us who preach, who have preached for so, that is, I think I've spoken in this my life up till now, that many people will speak in 200 years. Do you get my point? Just stand like this for 3 hours. They are weeks like that. I will preach almost every day. Sometimes I will check my mouth, whether I have to. I learned some habits long ago. Some people say they want to go and preach their fasting. Me, I don't date. Even if you are fasting, look, nobody should eat. Before me, I step up, you give me something that's thick, juice like that. Because I find that when I talk on dry mouth, it's sore for days. Yeah. Also protects my mouth for ministry. After preaching like that, you know the truth is that you not just think that you have the right when everybody else is walking. You can't sleep. You think you have the right to do one or two small things, considering all the good things you have done. In case you are thinking like that, I came to tell you today. It's not so. The more you have worked with God, the more you have done for God, the narrower your allowance for mistakes. The narrower your allowance for errors. Because God starts saying, you of all persons should know. Speak to the rock, he struck the rock. You know what God is saying? You of all persons, Moses, should know. Aaron built a calf, nothing happened. You know what God said? Is it not Aaron? He said, who built that calf? Is it Aaron? Not Aaron, they do. I told him, just repeat what your brother is saying. Who told him to be making decisions? But when it came to Moses, one small slip. Do you know what happened? That's it. God ended his ministry. He said, boy, come. Sometimes it doesn't sound so good. But you know what I like about it? Where sin abounds, what happens? Grace. So even for that, there's grace not to make those small mistakes. There's grace. So don't be scared. Now let me just quickly say that. When I say you curse yourself, you mount Mount Ebal and speak as so as to control your body. It's meditations. You're talking to yourself. They say, let's steal money as an example. You say, hey, no. This money is good, though, but if I steal it, the curse of the Lord will enter my house. That's what I mean by mount Ebal. You mount Mount Ebal. Now, the beautiful thing about it is that don't be afraid to do it. Because once you've done that, grace is poured upon your life. You won't even know when you resist. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Many of us think it is us that, you know, it's not you. It's just that when you have shown God how determined you are, he now takes over. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, believe me, if they put you in front of the fire, you will change your mind. And they were mere men like us too. But once God has seen their resolve, when the fire came, God took their skins and wore it himself. I don't have any shadow of doubt in my mind. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know what fire looked like. See, that fourth man was an angel of God, the Spirit of God. He had entered into them. What they were seeing was what he wanted them to see. It was as easy for them to navigate that fire as for you to climb down these steps at the end of today's meeting. It's called grace. It's called what? Grace. It's called what? Grace. Bow your heads and begin to give the Lord thanks again for this evening. I want to begin to confess grace. Say, I have grace. I need you to confess, I have grace. I have grace to walk above sin. Because I know sin will destroy me if I let it take control of me. You say it like that. Sin destroys. It will destroy me if I let it control me. So I will not let it. Sin is a foothold of Satan in my life. These are the kind of things you tell yourself. Stealing is a foothold for Satan in my life. Lying is a foothold for Satan in my life. It's a grip that Satan will use. The prince of this world is coming. He's looking for something in me. You need to say it. See, sexual immorality is a door of the devil into my sphere, into my affairs, into my home. The one that commits adultery is a fool. You need to tell yourself that. You say, my eyes, behave yourself. Oh, this was how Samson began. This was how David began. And look at where Samson ended. He lost his eyes. Look at where David ended. Calamity in his household. His sons killing his sons. His son raping his daughter. Rebellion in his house. So my eyes, you will not lead me into iniquity. I take hold of you and I command you to see what is right. Three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the things in the world. That is why Satan rules over them. Say, Satan will not rule over me. It was for freedom that Christ set me free. No longer to be subject to the yoke of slavery. Say it in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not longer be subject to the yoke of slavery. Because I will not let sin reign in my life. You need to declare it. I have the power in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is upon me. Grace is with me. Grace is with me. Grace is with me. I have grace to resist. Where sin and these temptations abound, grace much more abounds. Say, grace abounds towards me. Say, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. I will never be a thief. I don't want the curse of the Lord in my house. Say, the Lord loves me, and I want to keep it like that. The Lord loves me, I want to keep it like that. So the things that he hates, I will not let them stay with me. He said, there are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Now just think over your life. Which one of these things am I doing? Haughty eyes, that is proud eyes. Eyes that feel better than other people. I know more than everybody else. Say, no, the Lord loves me, but he hates these things. I don't want the Lord's hatred in my life. Therefore, I reject these things. You need to say it like that. Eyes of pride. A false tongue. Hands which take life without cause. A heart full of evil designs. Feet which are quick in running after sin. A false witness breathing out untrue words. And ones who let loose violent acts amongst brothers. Who sow discord, disunity. You know, I've seen people like that, setting one person up against another. God, look, you are bringing the hatred of God into your life. Listen, you cannot hold on to things that God hates. And you say because of his love for you, nothing will happen to you. No, tell yourself. Tell yourself what I've said, though. Tell yourself, say, listen, You cannot hold on to the things that God hates and think you'll be immune from the consequences because you think God loves you. No. Tell yourself, therefore, I will never be a false witness. I will never tell lies. I will never sow strife amongst brothers. My heart will devise only good plans. My feet will not run to do evil. Pride, I reject you out of my life. He said, pride goes ahead and destruction follows. Say, I don't want to be destroyed. No, you see, I said, Mount Ebal, climb Mount Ebal. And say, pride kills. Say, Banky, pride kills. When you start feeling too important with yourself, pride will destroy your ministry. So don't let it go. Don't let it come in. Don't let it come in. Don't let it come in. That's the meditation of sanctification I'm talking about. Those are the meditations of sanctification we are talking about. Say, Lord, please teach me to be humble. Teach me, my Father, teach me to be humble. I yield my heart and my eyes to humility. Because pride is a destroyer. A haughty spirit will bring forth a fall. and a fall will not be my portion. Therefore, a haughty spirit will not be my portion. It's not a correct doctrine that makes you think you can have a haughty spirit and have proud eyes and not fall or go into destruction. No, that doctrine is so untrue. That doctrine is so untrue. That doctrine is so untrue. Say, the one that commits adultery is not wise. Say, Lord, why should I be a fool? Say, Lord, I will not be a fool. Say, Lord, I will not be a fool. I will not follow the strange woman. Because those who do, they follow her to their death. Those who do, they follow her to their death. Those who do, they follow her to their death. They are destroyed. Say, my case will not be like that of Samson. My case will not be like that of Samson. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, judge yourselves so that you not be judged. He said, when you are disciplined of the Lord, it is so that you not be condemned with the world. What does that tell you? It is possible for a Christian to be condemned with the world. Why does it happen? See, he said, because they do these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So now what you are going to do is speak against those things that people do that brings the wrath of God against them. Paul said, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who do these things. Now, he said, now open your Bible screen, let's read it together. I want us to read those things. We need to read them. Galatians chapter 5, quickly. We'll be done in a moment. Galatians chapter 5. Now, I want to read verse 19. Are you there? We're reading all the way to verse 21, okay? From verse 19. One, two, let's go. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Please listen to this. Did he say, of which I informed you? Did he say, of which I told you a story about? Or I preached a doctrine to you? What did he say? He said, one, I'm forewarning you now, before you do them. To forewarn means what? Before you get involved. He said, just as I already forewarned you. It is them he's warning, not the people of the world. He said, those who, please, I've warned you people that believe lying doctrines. Read your Bible now. He was warning Christians. He was warning Christians. He was warning Christians. He said, be careful, be careful. Because if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he said. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins. There are many more. Other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now talk to yourself in meditation. I will not live this sort of life. Count those things one by one. I will not engage in sexual immorality. I will not engage in sexual deviancy. That's what they call impurity. Lustful pleasures. Worship of images. Worshipping money. Sorcery. You'll be amazed. Christians get involved in this thing. Say, I will not. I will not. They will tell you small things to do, how to move your fingers, you know, so you can control somebody. It's sorcery. Hostility, just angry. Ah, a lot of people are hostile. Always quarreling. Jealous of other people's progress. From now on, say to yourself, I will rejoice when somebody else makes progress. I will rejoice when somebody else makes progress. I will rejoice when somebody else makes progress. Even if it appears like they are leaving me behind, I will rejoice. I must rejoice, because if I don't, I will not enter the kingdom of God. If I don't, I will not enter into my inheritance. If I don't, the blessings of God will be suspended in my life. Mount Ebal, for goodness sake, and rid yourself of iniquity. Actually, it's a blessing. Mount Ebal is a blessed mountain. It's a mountain from which people receive blessings by pushing them away from Satan, pushing them away from sin, pushing them away from idolatry. He said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That God, use me in this life. Oh, Lord, use me. I sanctify myself that I may be useful to the Lord. All these evil things, I reject them in the name of Jesus. I reject all of them in the name of Jesus. Because those who do them, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Many people have been praying. God said, why I have not released is because you have not taken care of these things. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm saying to myself, if I do these things, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you are here, if you identify any one of them that you are involved in, say, this is why I have not yet inherited. This is what is leading me astray. Jealousy. Once somebody makes progress, I think, is it senior to me? I get unhappy. Say, no, in the name of Jesus, from now on. If somebody, a friend of mine buys a car, I can't buy one, I will buy him fuel. Hey, oh boy, here is 15,000 and fill your tank to show to God. Because you see, obedience is first a matter of the will before the emotions. It's not what you feel like, it's what you do. What you do freely, what you do deliberately, what you do consciously is more important than how you feel. After a while, your feeling will cooperate. After a while, your feeling will cooperate. After a while, your feeling will cooperate. But initially, it is just obedience. It's okay. So the man has made progress. Instead of you being jealous, go and contribute. Say, oh boy, hey, you are building a house now. Wow. In these hard times, how much is one ton of cement? Carry money and give him. Say, Lord, I rejoice because he's making progress. I will never be jealous of anybody. He said, you know, you don't know what happened. You know, it is because there's no need for stories. I will sow what I can into his life. Why? I must inherit the kingdom of God. I must inherit. Nobody should lie to me that I can do anything and still inherit. No, I reject that lie. I reject that lie. I reject that lie. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord.